talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. Telling them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting men for the dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count and be free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking down with life, I'm fighting in a fought and dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be warned. You're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a foreign dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be warned. You run down my country, man, you walking on right beside me.
When you run down my country, you're walking down the fight inside of me, and that's the name of this program here on alt-right-tv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. Lots more news and views for our people, and of course those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening in the European heartland. Anyway, lots to report today. Let me see, more on the, on the coronavirus or the Wuhan fever front. Let's see, well, I was doing some spring cleanup, you know, stuff that had been hanging around the garage and the basement for longer than I'd like to say. So I got some assistance today, a fellow with a pickup truck, and we made two trips to the Hamilton dump. Now, it's actually not called the dump, I think it's called a recycling center or some highfalutin thing. But anyway, you actually pay for dumping, incidentally. You pay for providing a public service as opposed to doing the third world thing, you know, maybe just tossing the crap out onto the street. Anyway... What does coronavirus have to do with this? Well, okay, drive up, and we didn't see the sign, but we went through the various little checkpoints and procedures and unloaded the back of a pickup truck and proceeded to drive out where you pay. You see, they weigh your vehicle as you come in and they weigh as it goes out, and they have some idea of how much... trash you left, and they charge you a certain fee for it. So anyway, it was $21. Fine. I pull out my wallet and take out a $20 bill. I'm in the process of fishing out a $1 coin. Oh, we don't take cash. Oh, you don't take cash. Now, I wonder what would have happened if actually I didn't have any credit cards or debit cards. Well, I mean, what would have happened if basically all I had was cash? And there are people in our society who believe only in cash, or who, for one reason or another, don't have any credit cards. Well, what would have happened? Well, I don't know. Well, I said to the surly female there, you can't do this. This is legitimate currency of the realm. This is legitimate Canadian currency. You cannot refuse to accept it. Well, that's the rule. I said, whose rule? Well, it's the city. Call the city. I go, yeah, right, call the city. Hello, city. Yeah, you know, one of the things happening with this whole coronavirus thing is it will be used as an excuse by lazy people to abuse you. Institutions, it's far easier. They don't have to have a change there. They don't have to worry about balancing a ledger or a cash drawer at the end of the night. Sure, easier, much easier. So always put the burden on the consumer. Oh yeah, well, actually, I'm a taxpayer too. So inconvenience me rather than manage the system the way you can. The way you should. Okay, we needed some these big brown vegetation garbage bags. You know, you pile them full of grass clippings or leaves or twigs or whatever, and leave it out for the garbage man, and he will presumably haul it away. Well, where do you get those? Well, we went to home hardware. Now, the recent rules are that they may only do a sidewalk or roadside business. What it means is you come up, you have to tell them what it is you want, and they beetle off and get it, I guess. This kind of undermines the one of the purposes of shopping. If I know precisely what I want, yes, I guess the system will work. Anyway, the theory behind all this is to avoid crowding. We might get within the 6 foot six foot spaces we're supposed to maintain from one another. That's possible. The store in particular is a fairly large store. They could have allowed the people who were in line. There were five of us in, with five more to spare. As long as people are reminded, keep 6 feet away from the other person, and don't bunch up, all would be well. Now, I know it's a government regulation and or guideline or whatever they call it. But anyway, I thought, what's the point of slapping on a stupid happy face and pretending I enjoy it? And so I said to the person who was with me, right back in the goddamn Soviet Union, another bloody line. Well, there are actually three home hardware employees out there in the little, in the passageway in the mall. And actually, they were bunching up, and none of this makes a whole lot of sense. But anyway, they didn't like the fact that I was not a broken, meek Canadian. Oh, okay, whatever you say, I'll do it. And I pointed out to the fellow, I don't understand why we cannot go in. There's plenty of space, and we're all adults here. We'll just keep 6 feet apart. And he finally said, well, if you don't like it, you don't have to shop here. So I snapped right back at him, well, it's clear to me you're not the owner. And if you want to turn away customers. This is the surly bully attitude, which is unfortunately is becoming fairly prevalent. Well, if you don't like it, well, basically what you're saying is if you don't like it, you can do without. I could go. There are other places that sell these brown bags that you collect leaves and grass in and put out for garbage. But it's not the point. It's the attitude, and I'm afraid it's a very bad attitude. It's a very anti-freedom attitude, which is becoming more and more widespread. Well, let's see what the my left-wing local paper has to say.
Oh, yes. They noticed the fantastic protest over the weekend. 125 people out in Vancouver. I think about 100 in Toronto. There was a protest in Calgary. There's a protest in Windsor, Ontario. And these are only the ones I know of. Editorial. COVID protesters push a selfish message. Oh, yeah, okay. Blame them. At the same time, Premier Doug Ford was talking to Ontarians about the state of the COVID-19 pandemic on Saturday. Protesters were on Queen's Park front lawn, which is supposed to be closed, complaining about the measures caused by the same pandemic. They want the economy to reopen. They want their jobs back. They want an end to social distancing rules. They want haircuts. Ford referred to them as yahoos. He was being too kind. No, and I made this point in my broadcast on Saturday, but I want to make it a game. I have a fair deal of respect for Premier Ford. I think he's done a good job on some fronts. However, I really bristle at his calling concerned citizens yahoos. For one thing, his role is to listen. He is an elected politician who should be trying to do the will of the people. Now, I know the people is a broad term and includes many voices. But it behooves every politician to listen and not to smear concerned people who he hadn't met. I think he'd only heard about them as a bunch of yahoos. He went on to say that they were also being reckless. Anyway, the editorial goes on to say, we shouldn't be surprised that this quasi-lockdown as this quasi-lockdown drags on and people get more and more fussed by it, a noisy minority would take to the streets with signs and slogans. Some are the typical characters you find on the fringe. Some are conspiracy theorists who say the pandemic is a hoax. A few, at least the ones caught on video, appear to be people with legitimate concerns. They do have the right to protest. Well, I'm glad the spectator agrees with that. On Saturday, however, it was clear from news coverage that they were not following the distancing protocols. Well, I'm not sure that's true. And then the spectator bemoans the fact the police didn't find anybody. But that overlooks the fact that the sheer size of the protest crowd made the event an illegal gathering. If a gathering of 500 at a protest is fine, then is another gathering of similar size fine at an outdoor barbecue, assuming everyone is 5 meters apart? I don't see why not. Police need to be careful about double standards. and the editorial goes on to make comments about the similar protests in the United States. But that doesn't mean we should not be concerned. What these people are doing is not merely taking advantage of their legal right to take part on peaceful protest. I would say that's take part in, but I don't think the spectator is any better on grammar than it is on thinking. They're making a statement that is much more serious, and we would argue nefarious than that. They are saying they have a right to enjoy unrestricted freedom, even at the expense of prolonging the epidemic and causing injury and even death to people who become victims. They are certainly holding themselves up as more important than long care home residents, their families, long-term care staff, etc., etc. They're actually saying they are more important than everyone else who chooses to obey public health restrictions. That's not what people like me are saying. What we are saying, though, is that many of the restrictions are irrational. Like the restriction heaping misery upon sorrow in Nova Scotia. And this was the restriction that funerals are not to involve any more than 5 people. And funeral homes have been strictly instructed that whatever you might call it, the laying in or the wake, must also involve no more than 5 people. I don't know what happens if a person dies and they still have a mother and father. They have a husband and 4 children. Well, by my math, that adds up to pretty close to, what were we up to?
probably 7 or 8. Oh, that's more than 5. Who has to stay home? Now, these are boneheaded, stupid, vicious regulations. And people are right to rebel against them. And that's not to discount the 6-foot rule, which I'm prepared to accept as maybe makes sense. Okay, fair enough. Is it not possible to have a funeral that would allow for people to gather in a reasonable sized crowd and still maintain the 6-foot distance? Well, let me put it this way. In a relatively large church, why not you have people in every other pew, so skip a row, and within each row you keep a 6-foot distance. Now, wouldn't that accommodate a reasonable sized crowd? Or if it's a small church in a rural area, there are several other possibilities. One would be to have an outdoor service where people can spread out in a church lawn or a parking lot, keeping the distance but still being able to be together as a group and to hear what the pastor or the priest or the preacher or has to say, or any other eulogies. I mean, wouldn't that be a feasible solution? Keeping in mind that what the apparent goal is, to people keep their distance. Or alternatively, in some rural areas, one denomination is fairly large and has a large church, other denominations are small and have smaller churches. Well, supposing there's a funeral for one of the smaller churches, I suspect that with a certain amount of goodwill, one of the larger church would say, okay, we've got a free afternoon or morning here. You folks are welcome to use the facilities of our church for your burial. Now, this is not thumbing one's nose in the face of legitimate regulations. And I will concede, perhaps, that the 6-foot rule, perhaps, is legitimate. And so if the goal is not to bunch people together, people are supposed to, as much as practical, to keep that 6-foot distance, would it not be possible still to have a funeral and allow most of, or perhaps all the people who would like to attend, just under different conditions than normal? Well, I would argue it is. And that's what these protesters in Vancouver and Toronto and Calgary and Windsor are saying, to end the lockdown, or to at least end the stupidity of many of these regulations. And they are stupid. And they're unfair. And they're wrong. That's what people are protesting. I've made the point in terms of the home hardware. By the way, the same little deal yesterday at a drugstore. The person I was with had noticed I had somehow managed to catch one of these plastic containers of hand sanitizers, and they're very rare. Okay. How I did it was I happened to ask about the fourth drugstore I was at, and I happen to know that sometimes they have them behind the counter at this particular drugstore near to where I live. So I asked, this was last Friday, and sure enough they did. So I got myself this little container. And when my friend noticed this, I said, well, look, on our way out, why don't we go down the street to this drugstore, and maybe they'll still have some. So we did, and we joined what I call a sheep line, You line up in front of the place, keeping about 6 feet apart from the person ahead of you, and you wait and you wait. Well, one person leaves the drugstore, another one is allowed to go in. How many are in the store at any given time? I think it's 2. It's a huge drugstore. You could let 20 people in there. And, provided you instruct them as adults, you understand the regulations, keep 6 foot distance, and you know, if you happen to be shopping or looking at a shelf, make sure that you know you don't get closer than 6 feet to another person. If somebody is at the shelf where you want to be, wait till that person moves on. Don't you know, crowd right, but you know, you approach an intelligent adult as an intelligent adult. No, that's not the way it's done. So I figured, you know, we're back in the old Soviet Union. You join a sheep line. That's the only way to go to the store that probably doesn't have what you want by the time you get there anyway. I'm not exaggerating. And you know, I wasn't quiet about my feelings. I said, another goddamn sheep line. It's like the Soviet Union. And my friend agreed with me. Well, several other people looked and they agreed too. You know, we are really being abused. So, okay, fine. My friend and I get to go in. We beetle right to the checkout counter to see if we can get this hand sanitizer. No, we don't have any more. When are you getting any? Well, we were supposed to have a shipment today, but it didn't come in. When's it coming in? Well, she didn't know. And as I left, I said, just like the goddamn Soviet Union. They don't have any goods on the shelf today. And, you know, this is a scandal. And I'm not sure who is to blame. One of the things we're supposed to do is not only wash our hands quite often. That's easy, and I totally agree with that. In fact, even without the coronavirus, it's probably a good idea in terms of your health. But we're also supposed to use these hand sanitizers as a supplement, but also to wipe down, you know, maybe the steering wheel or your car keys or your cell phone screen or, you know, things that you touch a lot. But how do you do that if you can't get these things? I know there are alternatives. For instance, one alternative is isopropyl alcohol, which is somewhat easier to get, and you put that on a cloth and wipe down. But you're trying to do the right thing, and you still can't. As I say, I'm not quite sure who is to blame. I know that obviously the drugstore would like to have this stuff in product in stock, because it just goes flying off the shelves, and people are very, very happy to buy it. But part of the endemic problem here is the supply chain. Well, who is responsible? Hard to find out, isn't it? But this is what we have to put up with. Well, one more annoying thing. I was at a pet store. Pet food store yesterday on my rounds, and they too are allowed to open but only do the curbside business. And makes it a bit difficult, you know, unless you know exactly the name of the product you want. Well, I shop by sight, and frankly, it took me a while to remember the name of one of the two wet cat food products I buy. So, okay, I tell the fellow, come up and tell him what I want. He goes off and collects it, then comes back, I don't have my goods yet, tells me what the bill is, and then shoves one of these credit card machines in at me. I'm supposed to either put in my credit card or my debit card. They don't want to take cash. Another, they don't want to take cash. Oh, it's all convenience. Yeah, I know, money is dirty. That's what you wear gloves for. Complete the transaction. And I say to him, you know, I know these are government rules, but they don't make any sense. I said, your store seldom has more than 4 or 5 people in at a time. It's a fairly constant stream of people, but it's never crowded. At least in my several years' experience, it's never crowded. The store is large. There's no reason why intelligent adults couldn't be in there 4, 5, 6, 10, and do the shopping and just make sure they keep a certain distance from others. Well, he wasn't buying that. He said, well, we know of other Pet Basic stores where people just wandered in off the street and were walking around, and then they got too close, and an employee at one of these stores got the coronavirus. So it just has to be this way. And I thought, you know, you're an adult and you're actually talking to me like that. You wouldn't talk to children like that. So let's look at the alleged chain of events. Some people walked in off the street and walked around and got too close to somebody, and they didn't buy anything. And an employee, and I wasn't even sure, an employee at that store or some other store got the coronavirus. You see any connections? Well, I don't. How did that employee get the coronavirus? Well, we don't know. Do they happen to know they got it from a customer who is now long since gone? They don't know that. Secondly, the accusation that some people came in off the street, walked around, and then walked out and didn't buy anything, I'm not surprised. I've done that. Not regularly, because I'm not a person who likes to waste my time just sort of window shopping, but I can see people come in that maybe they're looking for something particular, they don't see it, so they leave. What's the matter with that? But I was particularly angry at the attitude because somebody got the coronavirus will just make everybody stand out on the sidewalk. Yeah, that really showed them, didn't it? And you know, quite frankly, if I could have gotten the cat food from some other place conveniently, I would have just told them, look, with that stinking attitude, you want treating me a lot like a not very well-behaved child, you don't even know me. I don't have to put up with your insults. But you know, what we've got to do as people is to push back. Don't take this crap and challenge it. Because many of these rules make no sense. See, what happens is the people who would be spread out in the store, there were, I think, three people waiting to get in, are a little bit bunched together on the sidewalk. No, yeah, you're supposed to keep 6 feet from each other, but people are walking by. You know, they're going to other stores, the few that are still open. So maybe that 6 foot distance isn't always maintained. It's no better maintained. In fact, I would say it's more poorly maintained out there on the sidewalk than it would be if the people who wanted to shop in the store and come on in and shopped. If we don't hold our rulers, or if you want to call them tyrants, and I wouldn't think that's too big a stretch, if we don't hold them to account, believe me, we will not have our rights for very long, because many of them don't respect our rights. One of the areas that's very badly affected in Canada, in the United States, I think in Italy, are these old folks' homes, or I should say extended care. Old folks' homes covers quite a lot of territory. One of the problems in any place like an old folks' home is that people are bunched together. Sometimes it's not unusual for people to have roommates. Well, you know, if one gets sick with the coronavirus or a flu or something else, it's contagious, that person's not very far from the roommate who may also get sick. Also, the common dining areas are also often find the people fairly closely pushed together. So if somebody is coughing, well, others get it. Now, that's kind of on the good end of old folks' homes. On the bad end, there are places that are basically extended care. These people are already seriously ill, seriously compromised. And the entry of a coronavirus or other flu, for instance, that can very often kill them. There's a very extensive article on Monday in the Globe and Mail about these long-term care homes. And here's just a short snippet from it. Several former workers told the Globe and Mail that they are running flat out and barely have time to look after the seniors adequately, let alone wash their hands and change their gloves, which are sometimes rationed or in short supply. Most said they didn't wear gowns or masks before the coronavirus crisis, even during other outbreaks, unlike staff in hospitals. And that's one of the reasons, and this is not the first time, illnesses, viruses have roared through old folks' homes, including an outbreak in Ontario of Legionnaire's disease a couple of years ago. The staff is often inadequate, and under-equipped. You have to do everything fast, said this former worker, who said she often didn't have time to practice proper hygiene. How can you wash a bum fast? You're running out of time, and you have to do it fast, and it's hard, because every minute of every hour you have to utilize. It would seem that one partial solution would be for the homes to hire more staff. The most recent data from Statistics Canada shows more than 1,545 residents died in long-term care homes in 2018 from communicable diseases, including the flu, which amounts to almost five deaths a day. So across Canada, 1,545 residents of extended care facilities died from communicable diseases. We're not talking about cancer, strokes, heart attack, or kidney failure, but from communicable diseases. And you have to ask, well, how did they get in there? And
there's a great deal that's going to have to be done to turn this situation around. Well, the abuses just go on and on. This is from the Rebel. Pandemic police return to find a retired carpenter for the second time. This is Patrick McHenry. He's a 72-year-old man from Sarnia, Ontario. The retired carpenter was slapped with an extortionate $880 fine by Sarnia police for taking his little dog Molly to an empty parking lot for an afternoon break. He even used the empty stairwell to avoid contact with other tenants who used the elevator. But get this, Pat has just received more bad news. You see, shortly after Pat went public with his fine, the day after this reporter visited Pat to interview him, two more Sarnia police officers stopped by his apartment. They told Pat that they had good news for him. The $880 ticket that he'd been issued had been canceled, only to be replaced by a much larger one for $1,255 for allegedly violating the Quarantine Act. It's beyond unfair. And this is the report from the Rebel Media, which is Ezra Levant's operation. This is by reporter David Menzies, and they do a pretty good job, I think. Here's the story.
I had a knock on my door. It was a very loud knock, and I knew intuitively that it was the police, because nobody knocks on your door that loud. David Menzies for Rebel News here in Sarnia, Ontario. Well, I'm back here to update the story of Pat McHenry. He is the retired carpenter that was given one of those $880 tickets for allegedly not following the coronavirus safety protocols. Well, folks, riddle me this. When is good news actually bad news? Well, it's when good news is delivered by the people that occupy this building. This is Sarnia Police Headquarters. The day after I interviewed Mr. McHenry, they returned to his apartment. And folks, you are not going to believe this story. All right, so Pat, you and I met for the first time on Wednesday. We had the interview of you getting that $880 ticket, and our viewers can go to my original report and get all the details there. But the nub of the matter was you walked your little dog, Molly, out to the parking lot, the deserted parking lot of your apartment building. You even took the stairwells to avoid any contact whatsoever with people because they typically take the elevator at your apartment building. And when you returned to your unit, two Sarnia constables were there and they slapped you with an $880 fine. Then, the day after we talked, the police returned to your apartment. This would be Thursday morning. And do tell, what happened?
I had a knock on my door. It was a very loud knock. And I knew intuitively that it was the police, because nobody knocks on your door that loud. So anyway, I opened the door and there are two policemen there. And first I says, hold it. I don't want to talk to you guys. I want to talk to my lawyer. He says, no. He says, I've got good news for you. He says, the original ticket that you got for, we're going to drop it. So I'm thinking to myself, well, then that is good news. Maybe they've come to their senses. Then he hands me another ticket for the total sum of $1,255, more money than the original ticket, just because you showed up in Sarnia to interview me. It's the most vindictiveness as I have ever seen, and very dishonest for the police to say, talk about good news. There's no good news here. Where's the good news?
And you know, Pat, those are the words he said. We have good news for you. And obviously, it was facetious, it was sarcastic, because he was actually there to give you a ticket that was almost 50% more than the original ticket.
Exactly. I mean, this is just crazy. I don't understand it. I just don't. And my friends don't understand it. Nobody does. This is just complete madness.
You see, Pat, I don't understand it either. I've reached out on several occasions to the Sarnia police, even their media relations officer. They won't return my emails.
That's because you're from Rebel News. Now, if you were from the CBC or the Toronto Star, they Bruce Jenner couldn't beat them out here. Okay.
Yeah, but that's the catch-22. I don't think any reporter at the Toronto Star or CBC is interested in your story, and certainly we are. But here's the thing: I'm not saying this is what happened, but my thinking, Pat, is that they took umbrage to this. They said, "Oh, Mr. McHenry wants to play hardball, does he? He wants to embarrass us in the media. We'll show him." That's the only theory I have for this. And I don't think a judge is going to look kindly at this treatment of you.
I don't think they will, neither. No magistrate on any court could see the justification in this. This is just crazy. I'm not one of the Rockefellers, okay? I'm just an ordinary guy. I get my pension and that's it, you know. I'm not poor, I'm not rich, but I certainly don't have money for that kind of a thing.
Well, you know, Pat, hopefully after this video airs, you don't get a knock in the early hours of the morning with some more Sarnia police to give you an even bigger fine.
Seeing as how this is Sarnia, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they're knocking at my door tomorrow morning. The only thing is, I will not answer.
We're going to fight for you. Our viewers are going to crowdfund your case. Almost everybody's in your corner, so when things get back to normal, I can't wait to get into a court of law to cover your case. Hey folks, have you been treated unfairly by the coronavirus cops? Well, if so, please go to fightthefines.com. That's fightthefines.com. Tell us your story, and if we think you've got a case, then we'll take up your case.
And that's Rebel Media, another atrocity story. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side. I'm going to take my musical break right now. I'm going to play a few songs from a man who brought the Bakersfield, California country and western sound and take on things to Nashville in the 1960s. A great entertainer. Used to be on a Hee Haw, Buck Owens. And here's a few of Buck's songs, including and starting with The Keys in the Mailbox, made famous by so many people, including, of course, Buck, Connie Smith, and Tia Goins, and others.
I couldn't take those lonely nights you made me sit and wait. I thought I'd seen the last of you when you walked out of sight. Instead I see you in my dreams each night. Oh, the keys in the mailbox, I'm all in. I'll never even ask you where you've been. Oh, the keys in the mailbox, come on in. Share your company. I said, don't come around at all if you want more than me. But sitting here alone, I can't deny the flame that burns. I'd gladly take you back on any terms. Oh, the keys in the mailbox, come on in. Dear, I had your love again. I'll never even ask you where you've been. Oh, the keys in the mailbox, come on in. Oh, the keys in the mailbox, come on in.
That's a really famous one by Buck Owens, and we're going to play a little bit more of Buck Owens right now. Well, we were. This is going to be like... Well, I think we just heard that one.
I stopped at a roadhouse in Texas. It was a little place called Hamburger. And I heard that old jukebox playing a song about a truck driving man. Pour me another cup of coffee, for it is the best in the land. I'll put a nickel in the jukebox and play the truck driving man. The waitress just brought me some coffee. I thanked her but called her again. I said that old song should have spit in me, 'cause I'm a truck driving man. Pour me another cup of coffee, for it is the best in the land. I'll put a nickel in box and play the truck driving name. And then like a flash I was gone. I got them old truck wheels rolling. I'm on my way to San Antonio. Pour me another cup of coffee, for it is the best in the land. I'll put a nickel in the jukebox and play that truck driving man, and play that truck driving man.
Hey, it's another one by Buck. Close up the honky tonks.
In a crowded bar, she likes to hang around. And as long as there's a honky tonk, she'll never settle down. So close up the honky tonk.
Buck Owens, a great song from the 1970s, Close Up the Honky Tonks. Here's another one by Buck, A11.
I don't know you from Adam, but if you're gonna play the jukebox, please don't play A11. I just came force of habit. I don't intend to spend too much time in here, but I heard you matching for the music, and if you play A11,
there'll be tears. I don't know you from Adam, but if you're gonna play the jukebox, please don't play A11. Favorite spot, and when she was here, it was heaven. It was here she told me that she loved me, and she always played A11. The jukebox, please don't play A11.
Buck Owens, and that's A11. Here's another one by Buck, Getting Used to Losing You, Buck Owens.
You, I still hurt the same old way, and it grows worse day by day. For I lie each time I say I'm getting used to losing you. Meeting friends we used to meet, trying not to let them know that I'm so blue. But I'm afraid my heart aches so. Yes, I'm afraid they know that I lie each time I say I'm getting used to losing you. I'm getting used to losing you.
Buck Owens, Getting Used to Losing You, and here's another great one by Buck, Together Again.
Together Again. My tears have stopped falling. The long, lonely nights are now at an end. The key to my heart you hold in your hand, and nothing else matters. Together again. Together again.
again. The gray skies have gone. You're back in my arms. Now where you belong. The love that I knew is living again. And nothing else matters. We're together again. And nothing else matters. We're together again.
There's some songs by a great entertainer for got a long career in country and western music, the late Buck Owens. This is Paul Fromm. You're on the Fighting Side of Me, back with you again tomorrow. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of Me here on AltRightTV.com or WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe, the dauntless hero, came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen, and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen, and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot, and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home. The maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen, and heaven bless the maple leaf forever.